You to stand to your feet with me now, and it's preaching time. Won't you turn with me in the book of Micah, Old Testament book of Micah, and the minor prophets, one of those minor prophetic books that you find tucked away towards the back of the Old Testament. If you got to the New Testament, you've gone too far. But if you're not past Isaiah, you haven't gone far enough. And if you need to look in the table of contents, go ahead and do that. And if you're punching in on your iPad, iPhone, Blackberry, Greenberry, Purpleberry, go ahead and look it up. But I want everyone to be in the book. Micah chapter number 6. There's something from the Lord in this place today. Micah chapter number 6. Say amen when you've located the text. Amen. Starting in verse 6. The Bible reads as follows. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify and may sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me today on the title of today's sermon, Our Common Faith. Our Common Faith. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your eyesight. And I pray, God, that the collective meditations of our hearts and the collective words of our mouths would also be acceptable, pleasing in your sight, God, for we believe that you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. We plead the blood of Christ Jesus over that which shall go forth now, that minds might be illuminated, hearts might be encouraged, and ultimately, O God, souls might be convicted, I pray. O Lord, have your way. Break yokes right now. Liberate and deliver, God. Rescue somebody from where they are and take them to where you want them to be. Break the strongholds, God, in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing fall fresh in this place. And we shall be careful, God, to give your name the glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' sweet and wonderful name, let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ushers, you may take your seat as well. The Lord has continued to put on my heart a sermon about the caves. We're going to get to the caves, amen. But for whatever reason, God has seen fit to have us divert one more time from the caves. And on this second Sunday, I want to preach about the prophet Micah and take an opportunity to lift up what is such an important conversation today in the world, particularly in our country, and that is about interfaith dialogue and interfaith understanding and not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power we believe toward unto salvation, but also being able to recognize and to respect other brothers and sisters whose faith traditions are different than ours. Amen, somebody. You can't turn on CNN or read the newspapers today without having some sense of the profound disrespect that is playing out in our national political dialogue. You cannot look at the front runner, Donald Trump, of the Republican primaries and not listen to the probably the most successful African-American man in the Republican Party, Ben Carson. You cannot look at Trump's hair or Ben Carson's hands, amen, somebody, without hearing profound, almost rabid statements of segregation, and some would even say hatred and racism. Not necessarily towards a race of people, but a whole religion of people. That they are saying that we ought to have a moratorium, quote unquote, on any new Muslims coming through the immigration system until we get a hand on ISIS. Well, I'm here to say I'm not quite sure how long it's going to take to get a hand and a handle on ISIS, but I am not in favor of preventing and having a moratorium of Muslim brothers and sisters from immigrating into the United States because of what's going on. If I look at any country that has had some level of terrorism, domestic and international, we didn't put a moratorium on Irish brothers and sisters coming into the United States because of the terrorism, or some would say acts of rebellion, that were going on in the United Kingdom. And yet we, at this time in our nation's history, where we ought to be trying to pull folk together, we are watching play out on national television and radio the overt discrimination of a whole religion of people who worship Allah, who study the Quran, and who pray five times on their knees and foreheads facing east. And I think it is an absolute travesty and a statement against the very thing that this president of the United States has tried to promote, to have folk go against the very thing of inclusion and holding up the high values of the United States of America as the only place, the only country in the world where we could have the freedom of religion the way we have it here. It is a travesty that those on the right, the extreme right, want to block and segregate our brothers and our sisters of Muslim faith. And as a God-fearing believer in Jesus Christ, I believe some of us got to stand up and say that's wrong. And that is not what the God I serve would want us to do in this great country of ours. At our 8 o'clock service, we had the congresswoman for our district, the Honorable Bonnie Watson Coleman for the 12th Congressional District. She invited about 20 of her colleagues, of her supporters, of her constituents who are from the Muslim faith. There were brothers and sisters here, Imam Shabli, and who is one of the leaders at the Islamic Center Society of New Jersey here on Route 1 as you're going up towards New Brunswick, South Brunswick. The Islamic Society of New Brunswick, or Central Jersey, excuse me. He was accompanied by several men and women of Muslim faith in our 8 o'clock service, in our church, here to worship with us. And that alone ought to deserve a hand clap unto God. And I have not been to the Juma service at that center, but I've worshiped with my brother Imam Bashir, Qareeb Bashir, who is the fire chief in the city of Trenton, also an imam at the Islamic Center of Ewing, out on Parkway Avenue. He has service every Friday, and I've worshiped with him, and I've worshiped with Imam Bilal at the Masjid here in Trenton on East State Street. I've worshiped there on a Friday for their Juma service. And when I walked up in there, you got a few Muslims looking at their heads, wondering, who is this brother? When the Imam said, we have worshiping with us Pastor Daryl Armstrong from the Shiloh Baptist Church, not only was there a bit of a shock, God because it doesn't happen too often. But there was also great open arms to worship me because I'm not ashamed nor afraid to go and stand with brothers and sisters of different faiths because I know who I am. Amen, somebody. When you know who you are, you don't have to put other folk down. When you know who you are, you don't have to berate other folk. When you know who you are, you can stand arm in arm with your brothers and your sisters. It is only insecure people that feels the need to put other, lift themselves up by putting other folk down. And that's not just within religion. I know insecure folk on jobs. I know insecure folk in school. I know insecure folk in church. I know insecure folk in our family. They can't help but put other folk down thinking that's going to pick themselves up. But a mature man of faith and a mature woman of faith don't have to put other folk down, but they can be proud and secure in who they are, knowing that the God who rescued them will always be the one to keep them, but they don't mind making room for their other brothers and sisters. Because at the end of the day, God's going to do the judging. Go ahead and let your brother worship. But you be proud of who you are, because in being who you are, you might just be the light that somebody needs to see to say, what are you worshiping over there? So I don't mind going into Passover services with my Jewish brothers and sisters. I don't mind going to Juma services with my Muslim brothers and sisters. There's some place I won't go. I'm not going to hang out with Tom Cruise and the Church of Scientology. I'm not going to do that. I'll respect them, but I'm not going there. There's some limits. But for brothers and sisters who are earnest in their faith tradition, particularly when it comes to the Abrahamic faith of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, I particularly want to ensure that we understand we have more in common than we do in difference. And so it was a blessing to see our brothers and sisters here from the Islamic tradition, not only from the Islamic Society of Central New Jersey, but others who were here from the American Muslim Federation. They were here, and we worshiped together. And we had Irene Goldman from the Jewish community here and representing the College for Peace Action and Reverend Bob Moore. And so it was a nice interfaith opportunity, all brought together because of the congresswoman who said, I'm going to do my little part in bringing down walls of hatred and segregation in my district. I can't speak for other folks' district, but in my district, we're going to do our part here. Give God a praise offering for the Honorable Bonnie Watson Coleman, congresswoman from the 12th Congressional District. So that led me then to reflect on what message God would have me to preach. He led me to Micah today, and it is in the book of Micah that I want to just highlight this understanding and equip you and me to better engage in the dialogue with our brothers and sisters from other faiths. And I always want you to remember Micah, a Jewish prophet who speaks these words. And he says to the people of God, he asks some questions that you and I ought to be asking of ourselves. He put forth some assertions that you and I need to understand about our own individual faith tradition and how we engage our brothers and sisters who are from different traditions, not only Muslim and Jewish, but other religious traditions, Hindu and Buddhist and Confucius and other religious, great religions of the world. I believe that what these three questions that are these three points that Micah deals with in the text help us in this kind of dialogue. Because to see what's going on in Iraq and Syria and Saudi Arabia, the fighting that's going on between Shiite Muslim and Sunni Muslim, a lot of us don't even understand. We just lump everybody together. But we need to understand that there are extremists in every religion, and there are different gradations of every religious tradition. And so just like we've got Baptists and Methodists and Episcopals in our Protestant tradition, just like we've got Catholic Franciscans and Dominicans and Jesuits in our Catholic tradition, just like we've got Russian Orthodox and Greek Orthodox and Syrian Orthodox in our Eastern tradition, all within Christianity, so too do we have Shiite Muslims and Sunni Muslims and different Muslims. Nation of Islam is not the same as some of the Muslims that are worshiping over in the Middle East, but they're Muslims. I would say the same thing with various religious traditions. Judaism, there's Reform Judaism, there's Reconstructionist Judaism, there's Conservative Judaism, there's Ultra-Conservative Judaism. All traditions have gradations. And we need to understand and not lump everybody together. It is absolutely a travesty to any educated man or woman who would want to be president of these United States to lump all Muslims together with ISIS and ISIL. Those are the extreme folk who believe if they blow themselves up, they get gangway entry into heaven. That's not what every Muslim believes. That's what the extreme is believe. Just like there was an extreme Christian pastor down in Florida who wanted to burn Qurans. And the government warned him, if you burn these Qurans, you're going to inflame and ignite further terroristic acts over in the Middle East against our soldiers. Guess what he said? I'm going to burn them anyway. I consider him no different than I do radical Islam, extremists in Islam who would do the same in the name of Allah. And the point of the matter is, I can name you every religion an extremist in every religion. So first order of business, let us not lump everybody together. You don't like it when they lump all of us together. All them black folk. No, we're not all the same. First of all, you've got Liberians and Ghanaians and Nigerians and Kenyans and South Africans and Malians and other folk from the continent. You've got Trinidadians and you've got Jamaicans. You try to lump Jamaicans and Trinidadians and Bahamians all together, you have a problem. Now look at me funny, but try to do it. Go up to New York and go to the Caribbean Day Parade and say, oh, y'all the same. No, you'll have a problem. Just like nobody is all the same. Italians, Northern Italians, different than Southern Italians. A little different than Sicilians. Different. Go to Mexico. Northern Mexicans, a little different than Central Mexico, Southern Mexico. Go to the United States. Go to New Jersey. Different in South Jersey, then Central Jersey, then North Jersey. But I'm from California. I still don't know why folk think South Jersey stops at Camden. There are four more counties, six more counties south of Camden. But we seem to think South Jersey is Camden. Right? Another day, another sermon. I'll come back to that. Let's not buy into racism, stereotypes, and bigotry by lumping folk together. Micah the prophet asks what I believe or suggests three points that I think are important for us to consider in this dialogue. And I hope you will consider them in having any other conversation you have from this day forward about this conversation about religion and race in America. First, Micah, I believe, gives us a statement about transformation. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. Secondly, he gives us a statement about transgression and our sins. And thirdly, he takes us to a point God does through him to understand this notion of transcendence. How do we go higher and not lower? Amen, someone. So in the text, if you look at verse number 6 of chapter 6, and the Bible says that Micah opens up with questions, rhetorical questions. He says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down before the Most High God? Stop right there. If you ask the question, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down before the Most High God? That begs the question of devotion. Before, when you come before God, you must come with an attitude of devotion. When you pray unto God, you must pray with a spirit of devotion. When you come into the house of God, you must come with an attitude of reverence and devotion. Devotion is that you are wholly focused on the Creator and not really worried about anybody else around you. Do I have a witness here today? For a lot of us come to church and we're more concerned about what other folk have on or what other folk want to think about what we have on, as opposed to what God thinks about what's in our heart. But if you are a true worshiper, you are not concerned about other people. If you are a true worshiper, you're not concerned about whether the other person is lifting their hands. If you are a true worshiper, you're not concerned about whether the other person is shouting hallelujah. Hallelujah. For if you are a true worshiper, you're going to lift up your hands if nobody else lifts their hands. If you're a true worshiper, you're going to open up your mouth if nobody else opens up their mouth. If you are a true worshiper, you might just break out in a dance, or you might just break out and run around the church, because you're not concerned about what other folk are thinking about you. You're more concerned, can I tell God how grateful I am that He gave me another chance? Can I tell God how thankful I am that He woke me up this morning? Can I express to God my profound thanksgiving that I've got another chance to get it right? Do I have anybody here who are more concerned about what God thinks? Ah, somebody. God says they who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Stop being concerned about your neighbor. Your neighbor doesn't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. You better be concerned about devotion unto God. Micah says, what? With what? Listen to me. With what? What can I bring before the Lord? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down before the Most High God? Devotion. Your first and primary focus in worship is on God. And your devotion must be to God alone. I don't care what anybody else says around you. And you've got to cultivate such an attitude that you're going to bless God no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter who says what or who doesn't say what. You're not going to let your spirit be contaminated by anybody else's negativity, because you are so focused on God, and God is going to be the author and the finisher of your faith, and He's going to be the one to bring you out of your circumstances and your trials. I don't care. You got to get to a point where you don't care about other folk around you. All that matters is what God has to say. With what shall I come before the Lord? Every religious adherent, if they are serious, is concerned about their devotion unto their God. Muslims, true Muslims, and I don't consider ISIS to be true Muslims. They're cultic and they're liars, Because of what they're telling people is going to happen if they die. They're so that you can have a true Muslim that has true devotion to Allah. And you can have a true Jew who has true devotion unto Yahweh. And you can have a true Christian who's got true devotion unto Jesus. And the God of triune God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you can have true adherents who have true devotion. Micah goes on to say, with what shall I come? He begs the question, is there something material that I can bring that satisfies God? Shall I come with burnt offerings or with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Can you imagine how long it would take to sacrifice thousands of rams? Or will the Lord be pleased with 10,000 rivers of oil? Do you know how long it would take to pour 10,000 rivers of oil? Micah is asking the rhetorical question, is there anything I can bring God that will pay for the sin of my soul? He says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before him? Will the Lord be pleased with all of this stuff? And he goes on to make the ultimate statement. The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. Will I give my child to pay for my sin? Will that satisfy God? Some of us think that's unthinkable. But God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac because he wanted to know, do you really love me? And some may say that's a crazy way of asking someone to show their love. But the root of the matter is, are you willing to give up anything and anybody for your love of God? Are you willing to give up your job? Are you willing to give up your house? If you are willing to give up your this, your that, what will you give up to say that this is more, God is more important than this thing or this person? What will I sacrifice? It's a question we all ought to think about. And Micah says, we've all got to deal with the sin factor. The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. And then he answers the question. So point number one is this notion of transformation, that devotion. True devotion ought to be a part of our constant weekly our transformation. Listen, every time you come to worship and you truly come to worship, not for film or fashion, not concerned about other folk, but you truly come into worship, it ought to take you a little bit higher. It ought to transform your mind. It ought to transform your being. It ought to transform your soul. It ought to transform your understanding. You ought to leave out of here every Sunday a little bit different than when you came on up in here. The devil might be on your back, but you ought to leave out of here and say, now, devil, take that. I can run a little bit faster. I can jump a little bit higher. I can lift my hands a little bit stronger. You ought to be able to say, I'm being transformed. Does anybody feel like they're going through a transformation process? You're not the same person you used to be. I know you're not everything you want to be, but you ought to be able to look back and say, thank you, God. I've come a little bit of ways. I don't lie like I used to lie. I don't cheat like I used to cheat. I don't drink like I used to drink. I don't smoke like I used to smoke. I don't whoremonger like I used to whoremonger. I don't do what I used to do. I know I'm not perfect, but God is still working on me. Can anybody say that God is still working on me? God is not finished with me yet. He's got me on the potter's wheel. And I'm going round. And I'm going round. I'm being transformed. But not only am I being transformed, I'm being made aware of my own sinfulness. Listen. 1 John 1:8 says, if any man says he is not sin, he maketh of himself a liar. Romans 8:28, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. From the pulpit to the pew, from the choir loft to the usher door, from the top to the bottom, every religion, every nationality, we all have sinned. We are all contaminated by the sin factor. We all need redemption. We all need deliverance. We all need to be brought out. We all need to be brought up. Everybody have messed up. Let me walk down your pew. Step on your toe. Everybody's got some skeletons in the closet. Everybody's got some dust under the rug. I know you're holy, but don't try to be so holy that you don't recognize that there but for the grace of God go all of us. Come on, somebody. Sin. Born into sin. Shaped by iniquity. I'm so glad 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 tells me how to deal with my sins. If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me, wash me all over my head, wash me all over my body, wash me and make me new. Does anybody say they've been washed in the blood? I don't know about you, but when I get on my knees and I confess my sins and say, Father, I've fallen short of your glory, forgive me, God. The Bible says, if you're earnest about it, he will forgive you of your sins and to throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. True devotion begets true introspection. Well, you realize you got some stuff too. What do you do with your stuff? You confess it to God. And that brings me to my last point. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require? He doesn't want your money. You can be here from sun up to sundown, running around the church, all four levels, up and down, up and down, up and down. And that still won't satisfy you. You can be in every Bible study we have 7 days a week, and that still won't satisfy it. If your soul and your spirit is not right as you're doing the work, he's shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly? You know what that means? Justice. To do what's right and to treat folk fairly. And acknowledge when you've made a mistake. Come on, somebody. 1 for what it's worth, I look at all these police officers that are getting off. No grand jury indictment in the Tamir Rice case. No grand jury indictment in South Carolina Walter Scott case. No grand jury indictment in the Ray Dass Hearn shooting. No grand jury indictment up in the Eric Garner strangling case. No grand jury indictment. Something doesn't seem right. Something is not just. He's shown you, oh man,
What does the Lord require but to do justice? Here's another one. To love mercy. Now, some translations say to love kindness. I'm okay with that. But when I see the word mercy, it takes me to a different point. Because a lot of us are so unmerciful. You do know what mercy is, don't you? Mercy is the flip side of grace. Grace is when you get something you didn't deserve. Every one of y'all in here, the recipient of grace. Y'all didn't deserve to wake up this morning. Come on, somebody. Y'all didn't deserve to have that nice suit and nice dress on. Y'all didn't deserve to live in the house you're living in. And even though I know some folk are homeless, I'd rather be homeless in America than to be homeless in any other country on the face of the earth. That's grace. But mercy is when you shown up, know you messed up. And you should have been buried up, locked up, and the key thrown away. You drank it. You smoked it. You looked at it. You gambled it. You bought it. You purchased it. You snorted it. You smoked it. Do I need to keep going? You know you did it. But for some reason, God looked beyond your faults and saw your needs. That's called mercy. Do I have any recipients of mercy? I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for God's mercy, His grace and mercy. They brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. His grace and mercy. His grace and mercy. His grace. His mercy. His grace and His mercy. My God, I shouldn't be where I am. I shouldn't have what I have. But I thank God. I bless God today that God has given me everything I've got. I thank God today. Do I have anybody who's willing to say thank you, God? Hey! 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 You ought to love mercy. And when folk did you wrong, you ought to say, I forgive you. And you say, I forgive you because God forgave you. Thanks be to God. Mercy. 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 Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. You ought to do justice. You ought to love mercy. And the last one is you ought to walk humbly. Humbly with your God. This is where I said to the guests who were here today, we all believe in a God. You may call him Yahweh, I call him Jesus. I call the Trinity, you call Allah. Whatever you say you believe in, can you humble yourself and walk humbly? Humbly means that you've submitted your ways, your arrogance, your know-it-all spirit, you've submitted it and you've brought it down a notch and you're willing to say, maybe, just maybe, I don't know it all. Maybe, just maybe, I don't have all the answers. Maybe, just maybe, I gotta take a step back. Maybe, just maybe. They that humble themselves in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says God will lift them up. And I don't know about you, but I'm a witness. I'm not saying I'm the most humble person in the world. I got a little arrogant streak. No. But I'm not the only one. We all got a little bit of arrogance up in us. We all got a little bit of pride up in us. But you do know what the Bible says. Pride goes before the fall. Humility is one of the great character traits of a true believer. Humility, your willingness to say, I don't know it all. Your willingness to say, I don't have to be right all the time. Now, you might get in a little struggle where you're going to argue your point. But true humility says, let me see what I'm not seeing. God, give me eyes to see some stuff. Give me ears to hear some stuff. Give me a heart to feel some stuff that I can't feel by myself. Humility. And the Bible says, if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he'll lift you up, Janet. Do you know what I love about that? When he lifts you, can't nobody demote you. When God pick you up, can't no devil put you back down. Do I have a witness here today? When God opens the door, you better walk through it and say, thank you, Lord, because the devil can huff, the devil can puff, but the devil can't blow your house down. When God picks you up, he puts your foot on a rock, and you can stand, and all you've got to do is say, God put me here. If God put you there, he's gonna keep you there. No matter what your enemies try to do, God will. God will. God will. I know he will. God will. How do I know he will? Because he's done it before. And if he's done it before, I know he'll do it again. God will. Can anybody say it with me? God will. God will. God will. God will. God will. Make a way out of no way. God will. So as I go to my seat, I leave you with this message. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? But he has shown you, he's already told you what to do. When you don't know what to do, do the right thing. Do justice. When you don't know what to do, have mercy. Have mercy. Be compassionate. Be empathetic. Be sympathetic to your brother or sister. Have mercy. And when you don't know what to do, just humble yourself and walk before your God. And God will open doors that no man can shut. Build bridges that no man can tear down. Move mountains that are in your way. I thank you, God. Don't put other religions down. Just be proud and humble of who you are in Christ. And God will work the rest of it out for your benefit and for God's glory. Somebody put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering today.
In the name of Jesus. Do I have any worshipers here today? In the name of Jesus, can anybody say thank you, Lord? In the name of Jesus, can anybody say hallelujah? In the name of Jesus, can anybody say I worship you? I exalt you, oh God. In the name of Jesus. God bless you and God keep you is our prayer. Deacons and deaconess, help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. There may be someone here today who needed to hear the word today. And I don't know who you are, but I can tell you this, God wants so much more for you. If you just let go and let God. I do believe that God wants someone to join the body today. I do believe that God wants someone to join the church. I don't know who you are, but maybe you've been out of church somewhere. Maybe you've been hurt by another church. Or you've been out of fellowship. But God is saying to you right now, I want you to come be a part of this body of faith. And if that's you, I want you to let go right now and walk down the aisle. Give us your hand and give God your heart. If that's you today. If that's you today. If that's you today, if that's you today, look at God today. Come on, brother, look at God today. Look at God today, look at God today, look at God today. On down. Look at God today. Look at God today. Give God a praise offering. In the name of Jesus. Look at God today. Come on, sister. Come on. Look at you. Bringing the family down. Look at God. Give God a praise offering. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Maybe there's somebody else. Somebody else needs to come. Give their life. Now, more importantly is... Come on. More importantly is your relationship to God. Those, I believe, are believers already. But maybe there's someone... who hasn't yet made a commitment to Christ. I don't know your name, but I'm calling on you now. If the Lord is tugging at your heart, I want you to come. In the name of Jesus. Come on down with her. Come on down with her. Come on down with her. Come on, give God a praise offering. Isn't that beautiful? Come on down with her. Now, beautiful. Daddy's coming with his daughter. Beautiful. Is there anybody else today? Anybody else today? I don't know who you are, but God knows.
You who are weary and heavy.
Anybody else here today? Anybody else here today? Let go and let God. To Christ. Bring it down just a little bit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, I thank you today for what you've given us today. For breaking open the bread of life and feeding us through your word, God. And I pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would do a work that nobody can do. You're the only one that can save us. You're the only one that can rescue us. You're the only one that can move mountains out of our way. And I thank you right now, Lord, that you have brought us to this point. Folk have already stepped out of the seat, God, and that we say thank you.
But maybe there's a few others right now that needs to hear from you in the name of Jesus. Lord, tug at their hearts. Remind them that the rest of the day is not guaranteed and tomorrow is not promised. That they've got to make a decision today while they can and have the breath in their bodies to do it. Oh Lord, have your way right now. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. In the name of Jesus, have your way. Choir's going to keep singing. Have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way, God. Holy Ghost, have your way. Have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way, God. Have your way. Loose somebody, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, God. Have your way. One more time. To Christ. To Christ. Put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Thank you, Lord. You can do better than that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're so worthy, God. We bless you today. We exalt you today. We magnify you today. We glorify you, God. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord. Listen.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
As the deacons and deaconess, our clergy is still standing. I want to take a moment. Just let the Spirit of the Lord continue to minister.
Yes, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
It's all right to let go. Thank you, God.
Thank you,
Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the righteous name. The wonderful name. The magnificent name. The holy name. The name which is above every name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. If you need to talk to somebody, you need to pray with somebody, grab one of these persons standing, and they will pray with you and pray for you in Jesus' name. Don't we serve a wonderful God? Give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Give the Lord a praise offering.